You found the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We recap the Iowa State game today. The trophy, the Cy-Hawk trophy, is back where it belongs in Iowa City. Iowa wins 20-13. For the X's and O's people, Drake and Kevin get deep into run game, gap versus zone. We break down this whole game. Our thoughts, did we improve? Cade, the defense, the special teams, all of it. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in, Gary. You dancing to that intro music right there?
That was like a little air drums.
Little air drums in the. Sometimes Kevin gets his shoulders moving too when we get that intro music playing. It's a nice little tune.
Gary, I got a question for you, man. Do you have to rent out that room every time you decide to record from the library, or are they usually pretty open on Sunday nights?
Sunday nights are easier. But like if you do, I mean. Like if I do them like 24 hours in advance, which like I've been doing, like I just book out the week. Like I got this place on lockdown for like multiple. Like I was seriously considering, like, I don't think anyone checks on it, but I was worried I was going to get email like, yeah, Grant, you can't have like 12 hours of library space booked out per week. Like there's a limit per student. But no, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. So, like, you do have to.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But yeah, I just wasn't sure if you had to reserve them every single time. But library,
yeah, Gary. It's busy. There's rarely ever, unless it's like Sunday at 10 p.m., there's rarely ever free space. So, I do have to reserve it. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Drake.
It's pretty funny that I hope somebody else is also in the library a bunch. And they're just like off to the side, and they just see like you walk in, and they're like, "Oh, there's that fucking guy again. He's here."
Oh, yeah, he's here for his red 113 again. Oh shoot, this is.
Is it always the same room?
I do like the same quad. It's like the back of the library. Because it just feels weird to do like a podcast in the middle of the library. But
no, I think you should do it. Actually, I'm going to request that you do.
Quite honestly, might be good.
I did forget to schedule one of them last week. So I had to get like super last minute, and luckily I got one, but they have like these open areas that you can reserve. Mm. And I almost had to actually like, I thought I was just going to have to podcast in like the middle of a Starbucks. I was a little concerned.
That would have been awesome, to be honest.
What's the internet situation at home? Are we getting that figured out or what?
You know, we've had some assistance, so I think we're in the final library sessions. But I don't. If I said I was going to have internet tomorrow, I'd be lying. So
I was told
almost a month into the school year, no internet. Yeah. We're setting a new record.
I was told by the mercenaries that they were digging the line this week.
We might have to talk to the mercenaries.
Okay,
might have to talk to them.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here with us for the Iowa State recap.
Can I make a statement?
Absolutely.
I would like to make a statement formally apologizing to Mr. Sebastian Castro at the beginning of this season before it started on this here very podcast. I said that he was a guy that I was a little bit concerned with. I thought that he may be a weak point of our defense. And through two games, I can say that I'm an absolute fucking jackass who knows nothing about football. And I thank God that Sebastian Castro signed his NLI to the Hawkeyes and not on the battlefields of some other fucking university, because that guy saved us the Cy-Hawk trophy. I love you, Sebastian Castro. I apologize for being a jackass and knowing nothing about football. You're the man. Carry on.
There's a lot happening here. Grant is reacting to what I assume is an NFL game. What just happened?
Oh, well, there's a...
Well, it's not the Broncos losing.
Hey. All right, this is an Iowa podcast. We don't have to bring up the Broncos here. Right, especially
Drake, you didn't text me back, so I'm going to make
I was locked in. I was dialed in. All right. You can't have any distractions.
Drake just made an on-air live apology that he mixed in with the Niall Kinnick speech, which was fantastic. And we will get to Sebastian Castro. What a play by that guy. Seems like we've seen that one before, haven't we? That certain play looked like deja vu. And I'll just say this. I'm glad that ball don't lie, because the absolute travesty that was the play before that, or shortly before that,
when
Nico got drugged down. I was looking around. The Iowa State fans in the stands were looking at each other like, oh, we just got away with one. And I felt like I just got like I got abused. I felt like
As soon as that play happened, my phone buzzes. And I'm like, okay, you know, I check it. Our good buddy George Kittle texted me and just said, that's a penalty. I said, bro, I'm throwing a fit right now. He immediately texted me back, ball don't lie.
Yeah, ball don't lie.
Takes a lot to get J.J. Watt upset on Twitter. He was not pleased. He was not satisfied with the
dude. He got hooked by his where a chain would hang. He would have got his chain snatched off his neck.
Unreal. And they didn't call that. Holy shit. Speaking of penalties, no penalties on Iowa during that game. Cleaned it up a little. Cleaned it up now.
One of the only reasons we won the game.
Talk to me, Kevin. Talk to me.
We did have to burn three timeouts to avoid
first half.
Sure.
Delayed games in the first half, which is not ideal.
Hey, penalty was not called.
Got to use them.
It is a cleaner game. You're right. It is a cleaner game, Gary. You do have to use them. It didn't hurt us in the second half like it would have in the first half if we used those timeouts to avoid penalties. So,
hey, we'll take the Cy-Hawk
in the right direction.
We'll take the Cy-Hawk and leave the timeouts, baby. It was interesting. I obviously was there. I got to attend the game. Our good buddy Ike, the Girth Show, was in Ames this weekend. I didn't get to see him, but I'm sure that he was having a grand old time. The Iowa State experience, the Jack Trice experience, is a little bit different now. The student section has been moved, and I sat right next to the student section. It's on the far end of where they used to be, so they just switched corners, same side of the field.
It's the same spot we were going into in the overtime.
Mm-hmm. They've bowled in that end zone, which makes for a better stadium experience.
They did that while we were there.
Was it done?
It was bowled in when we played there.
Okay, so at least from what I can remember, though, that not only as a fan but as a player, that makes their stadium way more legit. And it was already cool, but bowling in that end and then building that I think they put like a building on the other side as well where there's like suites. That makes their stadium a little bit less bad. I'll tell you what's
their really stadium bad. Wasn't never bad, dude.
It wasn't.
That's a fun place to play.
The environment is great. What they make it is great. The stadium was at one point.
Listen, like, bud, it ain't Ross Aid Stadium, and it ain't no damn wherever they used to play in Northwestern.
That's true. Evan, what's it called?
Evanston. Ryan Field.
Ryan Field. Yeah.
Ryan Field. Ryan Field's bad. What is horrible about Iowa State is they have the most poverty press box I've ever seen in my life. It's I don't know where that is on the funding, where that is in the fundraising schedule of money, but that's bad. But their overall stadium experience has increased with that bolden end zone. They've built Drake, Kevin, when we walked out down the side of that building, those fans were on the same level as us. Like the fence was.
Yes.
You were almost eye to eye with the first row of fans. Yeah.
So that has now changed as well. Not only is the student section not right there when they come out, and they don't even come out of back behind that building anymore. They come out right where the swarm starts. It's a completely different entrance for the opposing team, which for the
that Cyclones, stinks. It was a bit of an experience, like we talked about.
Yeah, we built it up, and then I realized like all of what we said is no longer. It's unfortunate, but it's not for the opposing team. It's for them. And they come out of a big long tunnel that they made and all their theatrics. So it certainly was interesting to experience the game from a spectator point of view. I will say this. They've got good fans that come out and support them. And they just seem like, even when they're losing, they just seem happy to be there. They're happy to be there to lose, even. Like, they're just happy to be there and have a team to support and cheer for. And it was a good old Cy-Hawk rivalry game. They do have a great tailgating area. The area around Jack Trice is great. I walked over the new bridge that connects to the stadium. They're pretty horny over their new bridge that they got. It's a bridge. It's cool.
Is it a skywalk or is it a bridge?
It's just a bridge. They built a bridge over the road that runs east of the stadium, and it connects like those intramural fields mm-hmm. that are out there.
Played a 7-on-7 tournament there.
Yeah, it connects the far end of those fields over to the stadium, so it is nice. It helps with a little bit of the walking traffic, but it is what it is. I will say this. When they play that siren, you know, like the storm warning, there's a cyclone inbound or whatever. Those fans get absolutely horny, erect when that sound goes off. If you want to see a bunch of Iowa State fans just get fucking teed to the max, you just rip those sirens and the whole stadium just stands at attention. It's like, I mean, it's cool.
I mean, every team, every like, everybody has their like their gimmick, their shtick.
What's your favorite, Kevin?
I was about to say that one's my least favorite. It's got to be the most annoying one out there. No,
I think that it adds to the annoying nature of it being that it's Iowa State.
You know what makes it worse?
I guarantee you, when freaking Kansas State goes up and plays there, they find it just as annoying.
The reason I didn't like it is because their sound system that comes out of their scoreboard is broken or something. It's screechy. It's like when we get feedback in the mics when we're doing a podcast or something. It's loud, but it sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Like, it's not clear sound. And so everything that they do, every little gimmick that they play on the scoreboard, it's like the experience is lessened because the sound system sucks. There's some cheesy shit that they got going on over there too. They got this one clip when it's third down where it's a clip of their coach from the locker room. And he goes, and he's like screaming. He's like, give it everything you got. What wins football games? And then the whole like locker room goes defense, defense, defense. It's like, oh, buddy, that's really sad. Like that's one of the
Pop Warner bullshit.
It was some of the most embarrassing shit I've ever seen. So there was some Iowa State aspects to it. And of course the important part of the weekend was that the Hawks walked out of there with the Cy-Hawk trophy.
Can we go over favorite entrances though?
Sure. Yeah.
Kevin, what is your favorite college football entrance that's not Back in Black?
Can I say Ralphie the Buffalo?
Yeah, ooh. Sure. Because is that Colorado that, yeah, Buffalo's?
Right. Yeah.
Ralphie.
Yeah, they lead their entrance with
that thing is freaking sprinting.
Goddamn
too.
Buffalo.
Ralphie's moving.
Yeah. That thing is moving.
Them boys in Colorado are doing some business.
We're going to have to talk about them again, too. Yeah.
Especially Virginia Tech because Sandman's good, too.
That's my favorite.
It's great. I was going to say Virginia Tech, too.
It's a great one. I actually like The Rock, the Clemson
Rock.
No, what?
I like them touching the rock.
I like the hill. I could do without the rock.
And then running like down the hill. I like that.
You like Dabo running out in front of everyone, making it about himself?
No, I hate Dabo. Sweeney.
I don't like
but Dabo douchebag, and it is what it is. But if you told me in college that we were going to get to put our uniforms on, get dressed up like superheroes, hop on a bus 3 minutes before the game to get driven through the pandemonium to the other side of the stadium to come out and fucking mob down that hill.
Yeah.
I would have, dude,
that would have been sick.
Dude, I'm glad I didn't know about the hill before I went to college, 'cause I for sure would have walked on at Clemson.
You're assuming they would have taken you.
Well, you take anybody as a walk on, dude. It's charity. You're helping the special needs kids.
In fact, I think at the Southern school, I think at the SEC schools, they still hold like tryouts at a lot of places.
Somewhere. I could have for sure made the team on a tryout. I was at least that good.
No, I know. Yeah, for sure. Best entrances. Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't really pay attention to a lot of other schools' entrances. Big Ten, not a lot of teams have. Michigan comes to like through the center field and touches that like banner. Not that great.
I don't like the banner. I always thought that was kind of lame.
Penn State is okay.
It's better than okay, but it's not number one.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's top five in the country or something like that.
Who, under Kevin?
It's Gerald. Northwestern always had one guy coming out with an American flag, kind of like that.
Bo Pelini brought the cat out one time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Florida State, they're like locked behind a prison door while they're doing the war chant, and then they open the prison door and they get the flood out. Is that correct? Like a wrought iron gate?
Did you find that for us, Gary?
You're skipping over the like the there's a
well the
like
Seminole torch on the horse.
Fire. Yeah, that's getting spiked into the middle of the field.
That's a decent one, yeah.
It's a spear, Gary. Have some fucking cultural respect.
If Baker Mayfield it right in this midfield. Speaking of Baker Mayfield, the NFL kicked off today as we record this on the first opening NFL Sunday. A lot of interesting football games going on in the league as well. A lot of Hawkeyes out there playing.
Got four fantasy teams, have no idea what the scores are.
Say I have two. Kirko Cousins is my quarterback for both of them. He turned it over like three times in the first half. So
great. I have Kirk Cousins in one of my leagues as well, so that's great.
Joey Burr went for a solid 3 points this week.
That's a tough day for Joey.
And how about the
Bengals? Had a tough day.
How about the Bengals just getting their asses smoked?
In-state rivalry, dude. Shout
Brownies.
Out to the Brownies, dude.
Cleveland.
Dog pound.
Yeah, and I guess there's some of the, what, Grant?
Oh, I was going to say, they do have a gate, but to call it a prison cell might be a little bit of a stretch.
Okay. No, I thought it would look like a wrought iron prison door. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
More of the away tunnel does.
Okay.
The away tunnel does.
That was what I was thinking of.
But now that you mention it, Drake, that might be one to implement somewhere. Someone might just want to start that.
For the – dude, you should put that right there at the gates of – the tunnel in Kinnick.
They should just put up some hard looking iron gates and just, and like KF walks up with a key and unlocks it. And then they swarm.
And all the prisoners get let out. The fucking lunatics are loose, baby.
I like that. Any other thoughts on entrances? Otherwise, I want to get a couple quick thoughts on.
Go. I just wanted to stop the podcast and get Kevin's favorite entrance and why it had to be Enter Sandman.
Sounds good. For those watching, Kevin's standing up right now, I assume, because
back
of
hurts.
Back pain.
Back pain.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into back pain.
Yeah. Let's go into our recap betting segment.
You didn't let me finish, Glover. Do you know what helps for back pain, Kevin?
Oh, you said
You already know what you're going to say. Go ahead and say it.
If you lick my butthole. Yeah.
There you go.
It's a solid one. It's a really good. It's a classic. We had some bets out there. We always do. We do a segment around here called Ward's Winners. It's presented to you by the same title sponsor that presents the entire goddamn show, and it's Betfred. Okay, download the Betfred Iowa app today, or if you're a listener from another state, download your state's Betfred app, assuming that they have one. Start making some picks today. You can get in on the fun. The betting channel in the Discord has been more active than ever these last 2 weeks. Grant is in there telling all the people to take certain. I think someone hit a huge parlay,
and it wasn't Bo.
Yes, we had a 16 leg parlay hit.
No. Somebody from our Discord.
Yes.
No. Somebody in our Discord hit a 16 bomb.
I'm pretty sure.
Were they all money is lines or against said? The spread? Because against the spread, that's like
I believe they were all. There was like a couple 15 minus 1500 money lines in there.
Sure, but what did this end up paying out?
I'd have to.
It's check. Probably still got to at least be 20-1, even if it's all massive favorites.
Either way, we put out some picks. Betfred putting the money down.
It
for
turned $37 into $400.
Wow, they must have taken some huge.
Yeah, it was betting huge.
Yeah, you got like Maryland money line, which was 5100, and Missouri money line minus 1500.
Smart.
I mean, 10-1. You can't be that upset.
Hey, no one's ever been pissed turning 37 into 400.
Nope.
Tell you that.
No, like 16 in a row is still crazy. Like
wild, especially with some of the results that are going on in college football. Let's talk about it. Well, I guess let's talk Drake first. Drake covers with his one football bet of the day. Took Iowa -4.
I actually took two of them. I gave Bo Bauer two bets, and both of those hit, two football bets. Because Colorado minus 2.5 was a lock of the century. If I was a better and I would have looked at the lines, I would have came into Wednesday's podcast and opened it with, like, stop the presses. Vegas is only – it's got Colorado at minus 2.5. Put every dollar that your bank account has in this.
Well, don't worry, because I it was one of my picks, and I took Colorado minus three, and that was a hit. I was watching that at the tailgate.
Yeah,
on the grounds of Jack Chise Stadium, and
I told Jeremiah that Colorado was going to curb stomp them to the FCS, or maybe I said donkey fuck them down to FCS. I don't know, something good. And he told me to eat shit, and then I just sent him the eyeballs. I just, like, at the end of the game, I just looked at him, and he said, "We suck."
He called the game on the radio too. I think he was in.
I know he was there. That's why, yeah. I texted him.
So Drake had Iowa minus four officially on the graphic. He also had Adesanya minus 650 money line, and
he got beat like a drum. He got his fucking face drummed off.
Yes,
as a minus 650 favorite.
Yeah, surely the minus 650 bet hit, right, Drake? Surely, nope.
No. How about the minus?
Drake's record has, that's got to reflect at least three losses.
Here's the thing, Kev. I had no idea what the lines were when I picked them, and I admitted that to Gary because he came around on Dickhead Thursday, or Drake and Gary Thursday, sorry, on Patreon, and he was making fun of me. And I was like, listen, man, I don't – oh, yeah, we recorded on Thursdays, though. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was like, we have another show now or what?
Yeah, we do.
We do. Yeah, there's two shows.
And – Kevin, I got nothing but time to burn, buddy. I got podcasts to do.
I have no idea what's going on in this company.
But I told Gary, when I look at these UFC picks, people text me and say, hey, who should I bet on UFC? I pull up the UFC app and I go to the card, and it just shows the matchups. The card does not, or the UFC app does not have lines. It's not Vegas attached. So I just circle my picks and send them off having no idea what the line is. Did I know that Izzy was a favorite? Sure. Did I think he was fucking damn near 7-1? No. And did I think he was going to show up and fight the most scared fight I've ever seen almost anybody fight ever? Like, the guy fought scared and he got his ass beat.
I'd be scared if I was in the ring with that guy too.
No. He was a better fighter. Izzy's the better fighter. He fought horribly.
How about the how do you say this guy? This last guy,
Manel Cop.
Cop.
He almost got a first round stoppage, and he ended up winning by decision.
Okay, so you're 2-1.
No, and
not bad.
The one that hurt bad was the underdog, the UFC underdog that I picked, because he's got a great record of fighting at home, and Bo had – he was – he should have been 5-5 on my picks that I sent him, but he was 4-4 because he forgot one. And that – if he would have – if that co-main event would have hit, I would have told him to cash his ticket, because the minus 650 isn't worth the risk. But it didn't happen. It was a good sweat while it lasted.
I was 2-1 on the weekend as well, which brings me to 500 at 3-3. Colorado smokes Nebraska, covers the minus three. Iowa and Iowa State, it was never in doubt, under 36.5. I mean, come on, people. When's the last time that game
Was at 20 at halftime?
It was never in doubt, Kevin. Ever. And you know what? I don't even know what the line for next year's Iowa-Iowa State game is. It isn't in doubt. It's in under.
What was the score? Was it 33?
It was 2013.
Yeah, so 33.
I hit the under on that one. Tulane, I believe, was up at one point in the game against Ole Miss, but couldn't keep it together and lost by 17. So they do not cover the plus 7.5.
Yeah, they were up. And then Ole Miss ties it up, goes up a score. And then Tulane has like a fumble, like what they're doing, 2-minute drill. And
Ole Miss, that game was close.
17 is misleading.
Scoreboard reflects.
It was a closer game than its score showed.
Yeah.
Also, backup QB was named starter very close to game time.
That's tough. Gary, talk to me about your picks.
Yeah.
NC State plus seven and a half.
No sugarcoating it. We got lit up this weekend. It was a bloodbath. It was not good.
Fade Gary.
Disaster. It was a good. Yeah, good thing we got the victory lap in last week because it's back to the usual now. It was not good.
But on the graphic, the worst you can go is 0-3, and you went 1-2. Wazoo. Yeah, covered.
You know there was some NC State, first of all, if I knew that lightning was going to strike the stadium in the middle of the game, I would have picked differently. That's a bad omen.
I would have picked differently.
Yes. Lightning strike to the scoreboard. They went under weather delay and lightning strike the stadium.
Yeah, a bunch of the East Coast games got delayed.
It's a bad omen.
Yeah, so not good. Yeah, it was instantly over after that. Not good. And then Illinois was pathetic on Friday night versus Kansas. Kansas, by the way, ran the Polecat. I don't know if you saw that, but
I did.
They looked like Kansas had the most electric offense I'd ever seen. Great band. Kansas, by the way, like they were just rocking all night.
Great.
So it was
Bone Dog. Tell me why I'm over. In the Discord. I'm in the Discord betting thing right now, and I'm seeing plus 1266 parlay for me, thanks to the In the Kitchen Pod for giving us amazing picks. You couldn't have been that bad. We got dudes out here making money off you.
Well, I think that was sarcastic because I had the opposite of pretty much everything on that parlay. So, I thought that was sarcastic.
It was a fade Gary parlay.
I believe it was. Yeah. So we got lit up today too.
Bone Dog.
It was so not
Gary,
going
you're
well.
Gary, you're gonna be opposite of me in the first 2 weeks here. You're gonna go 1-2 this week on the card, on the graphic. We're both now 3-3. Kevin, we'll finish with your picks from the Betfred app, Betfred Sports. Shout out to him for sponsoring the podcast. Kevin had minus.
Send Gary some more money, man. He's trying.
Well, send Kevin any money because Kevin's account is dry.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit upset about it right now.
Kevin, they must have got the email wrong. They typed it in.
No, they're scared of me, man. They know if they load up the account, they're just piling on their losses.
It's over. They're gonna have to take out. They're gonna have to take out.
Fred, stop fucking around, dog. We'll stop saying your name real toot sweet. I'm telling you. Kevin money this week. I guarantee you, I'll never say your name again, and I'll make sure this podcast never says it again either. Fred, don't fuck around, dude. I promise you, we are vindictive, cunty people.
That quote of the week on the podcast. Get washed up walk-ons brought to you by pettiness. Kevin, Iowa -4. That's a hit.
It's a hit.
We'll talk about it here in a second. Nebraska, Colorado, under 60.
Never in question.
I mean,
Nebraska stinks, mate.
They don't have a terrible defense, though. Well, we got to talk about the Big Ten West here in a second. It's not great. Virginia Tech, Purdue. I don't know how that one ended up. How'd we fare there?
That was a loss. It was had to get over 46. It was 17-17 at halftime, and then I'm thinking I'm golden, right?
Gold. 34 points.
They don't score. No one scores until like 6 minutes left in the game. For one more touchdown, and that's it.
That hurts.
Yeah. So that was one of those games. It's supposed to be an 11 o'clock kick. They play the first 5 minutes of the game, and then they're on like a 7-hour weather delay after that.
Oh, 7 hours?
Yeah.
Did they stay at the stadium?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. So, that's one of the worst days ever.
So to finish the betting segment brought to you by Betfred, are Virginia Tech and Purdue dead to you then? Are they dead forever?
No. I mean, it's just that's a bet that definitely should have hit and just didn't. You know, sometimes you make the right play and it doesn't work out. Sometimes you make the wrong play and you get lucky.
That's also poker.
That happens in football.
There's about six teams that are on my dead to me list now after this weekend.
Gary's fine.
I'm quite upset about Moulton and the coaches too.
No, the crazy thing about that Virginia Tech game is Virginia Tech's down 7 with 2 minutes to go, and that's when they decide to switch quarterbacks.
Really? Just
2 minute drill. Put it the backup in.
Yeah. Just send it in the closer.
And again, this is like after a 7-hour delay. The guy probably hasn't warmed up since like 11 o'clock that
breakfast.
Day.
Cold as ice.
Yeah. So well, that was a tough one to lose on. Like you check the score at halftime, you think you got it in the bag, and
it is tough. If you want to join in on the fun, follow along with the walk-ons picks or make your own picks, follow along, choose your best three, try and match up against us this season. Download the Betfred app today. Get in on the action. Betfred, bonus king. Let's talk about the game at hand here. Iowa, 20-13, takes home the Cy Hawk trophy. Rightfully back where it belongs now. Feels good. Felt really good to watch them gather and swarm to that trophy in Jack Trice. Warms your heart as a former guy. Feels even better that Iowa does things. And I'm not saying we're better than Iowa State. But we are, right? And Iowa State, when they do it, because they haven't been there before, right? You might win the Cy Hawk once if you go to Iowa in your career. It's every man for himself. It's whoever can get to the trophy. They're not worried about their teammates. Iowa, they've been there before. Everybody gathers together. Joe Evans, the Ames, Iowa kid in front.
Swarm. Deservingly so. He's a 6-year senior and an absolute heartbeat.
Swarms it over nice and slow, grabs the trophy, celebrates as a team. You love to see it. Ugly game. Pretty ugly game. Iowa State usually is. This one kind of followed suit. Some initial thoughts on this game, maybe whatever comes to mind. Drake, did you watch the whole thing? Is it 2-for-2 this year so far?
I watched most of it, and I've got notes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Wrote
notes. Holy shit. Somebody mark this down. 453.
Handwritten or printed?
Holy shit. There's at least Drake six bullet points there. Thoughts.
So my first thought is something that I noticed, but was reinforced by somebody who I'm close to that also knows football. Won't mention their name because maybe they don't want their thoughts on this here program. But it's that if you haven't noticed, we're now a gap power running team. We're not an inside outside zone team where the running back gets to use his athleticism and gifts and vision to, stretch defense and split them.
That works for you.
Exactly. Find the cutback lane. Find, because our offensive line is not athletic enough to take three techniques from a guard position and reach them on the play side. I don't believe that our coaching staff has that faith in them because, well, we're running a lot of gap schemes, dude. We're running a lot of one back power. We're running a lot of two back power from I set, from offset, any way to try and dress up the fact that we're running gap scheme, but we're also not road grading teams like a good gap running team does. Like Wisconsin has been a gap scheme team for
until now.
Yeah. For as long as I've known Wisconsin. And they've also had one of the most noteworthy offensive lines every year for as long as I've known Wisconsin. And right now our run game, aside from a couple of pop plays, which I wrote notes on, are Brian Ferentz breaking tendencies, making amazing calls to break tendencies to catch the defense off guard. So shout out to all the fucking Cheeto fingers who are like, Brian can't call plays. It's official. This guy doesn't know shit. He's got a great quarterback now, and he's got great receivers, and he does know shit about football. It's like, go fuck yourself. He broke two tendencies on third downs and had huge pop plays because of it. If it's not for him tricking the defense, we're not really getting the job done running the football, and we're not able to use our running backs' playmaking abilities to make defenders miss, because you don't make defenders miss in gap scheme football. You run through people in gap scheme football. And right now we're just not running through people.
Yeah. I mean, you take out Jazz's one run.
Which was a tenancy breaker because that's the very first time we've handed him the ball on third down.
Was that a third down play?
I believe so. Because he's a third down back.
You're right. It was third down. We had 112 rushing yards on the day. That was 60 of them.
Yep.
Then you count, you take that one out, you have 28 runs for 60 yards or so.
Yep.
And I think you probably count on your hand how many more rushes went over 3 yards.
And then so, that pop pass to LaPorta, that was –
well, not LaPorta. LaPorta's
in the NFL now.
Lachey, my apologies, boys.
Wish we had him.
And I'm all aboard choo-choo the Luke Lachey bandwagon. He is a total thoroughbred.
Yeah, he's
that kid is a stud.
Eric,
that's a tenancy breaker right there. It's third and two. What does Iowa do when they line up in the eye on I think we were in 22 personnel too. What does Iowa do in 22 personnel when you line up in the eye? You run the rock. And it was a fake power pop to Lachey that went for damn 40 or something. So, Brian doesn't know shit about football. He just knows exactly what the defense is expecting, and he breaks the tendencies on two extremely crucial third downs and wins the game. But, you know, just fuck that guy. He's an idiot.
I will – yeah, before you continue, Draker, we get more thoughts on this offensive line power or zone versus gap scheme thing. I will throw in my own unsolicited opinion on the people who are saying Brian's still the problem. Like – through two games, I think it's pretty clear that like
he's calling a good game.
I don't think Brian's the issue here. I think.
And the funny thing is, people don't understand the difference between zone and gap running scheme.
Well, and that's like, what I wanted to go.
That's going over fans' heads who are just watching the offense not run the ball well.
Right.
They're just watching the ball get handed off, not watching the front seven at all, and they're like, oh, it was just another 2 yard run. Oh, it's another 3 yard run. It's just
so, Drake, could you explain to everyone, those who aren't as into that or in the know here, the difference between a gap and zone a little bit more than you did, and also explain why our current offensive line and their abilities favor one versus the other. And where we've been in the past when we had line, like when we were there, when we had lines like.
Yeah, sure. So a zone scheme is the scheme that allows your running backs to be playmakers. It's the professional way to run the ball because it allows for your offensive line to work in tandem as a machine to work through the down linemen to the linebackers, creating lanes of cutback for the running back to go make his money. There's inside zone, which you much expect for the big plays to be found backside. You run an inside zone, you're trying to hit usually the A gap. I mean, you could run inside zone to the B gap also, but everybody's stepping, trying to reach, but they're trying to reach and get vertical. So there's like a lot of double teams inside on inside zones between center guard or guard tackle on the play side, trying to get that reach. But if everybody gets running, then the running back just cuts back.
To dumb it down a little bit further, what Drake says by reach is basically you're trying to get to the outside pad of the guy who's outside of you.
They're just building a wall.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like say you're running inside zone at a one technique, your guard is going to block back. He's not really going to block back, but he's going to block straight ahead because he's got that one technique between him and the center. So you're probably going to get an ace, which is a double team between the center and the guard, so that the guard gives the center enough presence in the A gap for him to get man on a man and then take the block over from the guard, who's going to work up to the play side linebacker.
Yeah, or so that's, the mic that's where you're trying to get. You got two guys on a down lineman, but there's also a backer behind him. Mm-hmm. You have to work that double team so that you can kind of transition that from a double team. You get him moved over so that the inside guy can take him one-on-one, freeing up the other guy to get up to the second level to the linebacker. And why that's hard for unathletic lines is because if you're just not quick enough to do that, then linebackers are going to be running right past
you. Right over the top of you.
Which is kind of what we've seen the last few years, us have issues.
And then also, before we go forward on that, it also takes a true level of cohesion between the offensive line. I still see Iowa rotating offensive line linemen, which, I mean, it is only game two, but they're trying to find the best combo. Like, they're out there doing chemistry with their offensive line, trying to find which molecules go together, dude, to form the cohesion that allows you to work in these tandem doubles, to go ace, deuce, tray. You know, everybody has to be so on the same page, working in synchrony. Whereas a gap scheme, you step down, play side, say if you're running power 26, down, tight end, down, fullback, kick out, running back, start a gap, out.
So take a quick second to recognize AdCraft, the goats of merchandise, to who are our people, right? They're part of the Walk-On Army. You guys remember when, you know, that whole Big E thing went down? He said Hawks by a million on Fox, and it went viral. I mean, just went all over the place. Well, we needed some flags, right? The people wanted some HBAM stuff. And guess who was there the entire time, who actually hit me up before I hit him up, right? That's my guy at AdCraft. That's Colin. He's like, hey, we're going to need some flags. He knew it was coming. So they're already ahead of us when we're trying to do our merch. And as you guys have heard me talk about, when you guys want to create your own t-shirts, your own sweatshirts, whatever you guys need, it's hard to know what products should you choose, how much inventory should you order, how do you collect and then distribute orders and all this stuff. Just let AdCraft handle it, okay? If you need to get apparel to your employees, no problem. AdCraft's company web store program allows flexibility to fit your company's needs, including special features like password protection. No more creating complex spreadsheets to collect and submit orders from your employees. With AdCraft Company Store, you'll just send a store link to your employees to order, and AdCraft takes care of the rest. Hey, and they're great for high school sports, booster clubs, athletic club teams, companies, and much more. AdCraftWebStores.com. And they'll help you guys just like they helped us. www.AdCraftWebStores.com.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to GraysGourmetToGo.com.
And a gap scheme is a thing where you're going to find linebackers in the hole a lot more because they're not getting double. No one's doubling it.
It almost forms like a wedge, dude. The line is almost just trying to go in goose formation.
They're opening one
straight ahead, and you just keep running behind it until maybe a little crease forms or something.
Usually a gap scheme, you know, says gap. There's usually a pretty specific gap that the running back's the target to. Drake,
A. It's always A. Power, you take an A gap track and you stay A gap until you can't, and then it's out, never back.
Yeah, and so, like, you get a line crashing down, and usually there's one puller coming around. Sometimes there's several pullers, too.
Typically the backside guard.
You're going to have the guard and the fullback on the kickout blocks.
And so you're sitting here listening to Drake and Kevin explain this, and you're sitting here like, oh, fuck, maybe this still goes all over my head. What does this mean? And I don't want – and to be honest, if any of our offensive linemen are listening to this, you should probably fucking – use your time more wisely.
Yeah.
But don't take this. I totally understand whose mouth this is coming out of. But what we're essentially saying in the most respectful way possible is right now, our offensive line athletically is not as suited. And like Drake said, cohesion wise, they're the chemistry of those five guys.
You can get away with having not great athleticism. Like these guys don't have to get out and move in space like Trent Williams or like Joe Staley did or anything like that. Like they don't have to be alley blockers, but they have to be able to always know when is the right time to leave this nose tackle to go to the linebacker. Is my guy there? Do I know he's going to be there on that second step exactly in this spot so that I can leave it to him? And you got to be in each other's brains, dude. An offensive line is a unit, is a machine.
And right now that puzzle piece or those puzzle pieces are not quite fitting together in a way that our coaching staff, Brian specifically, is confident.
Now, this is coming from the top. Coach KF is
KF
offensive lineman through and through. He spends his whole practice with the offensive line.
Sure, and I bet him and BF and the rest of the offensive staff are all talking about it. They're like, hey, man, we got to run more gap. It's just like gap is going to have to be where we go here. Mm-hmm.
Hey, correct me. Maybe I'm the only one that saw this. Do the snap timing still seem just a little bit off to you guys?
Seems off.
It doesn't seem nearly as bad as it did all last year, but there did seem to be a couple slow ones. That might be, and this could be bullshit, but this is maybe just speculation. With Cade's quad, he might have a half second slow getting out of, you know, pushing out of the out of under center. I don't know. He didn't seem to look super hurt.
Cade's quad was actually my second point of emphasis because he wants to get loose, and in this game, you could tell. Especially this one in particular, he didn't have it.
Yo.
He didn't trust his legs whatsoever. And I don't think he trusted how, like, his mechanics of throwing either, because he missed a couple of deep balls that I didn't expect him to miss.
If we have Cade at full ability, this game's like maybe a 3-touchdown game. I really believe. Like, and to be honest, I told you I went with my couple friends from high school. We walked in and you know, Gimble was a quarterback, played 4 years at Southwest Minnesota State. We walk in, the first thing he starts eyeing is he's like, all right, where's Cade? Watching him warm up. He watches like two plays and he goes, oh yeah, Cade's good. And Cade was testing it. He was doing little like sprint forwards, like just making sure the quad felt good. He feels good, but I think Drake, you're right. I don't think mentally he's comfortable of.
He doesn't want to explode off that.
He doesn't want to hit the NOS. Like
especially if you have like a pulled muscle and you have a setback too, then that's really, it's not exactly in the back of your mind, but it's like almost a little bit like a mental block. Almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he has that right now. And who knows if hopefully he can pull that off as soon as possible. Maybe he doesn't all season. He's still very capable right now.
What do you guys think about, I don't think KF would do it, but I would consider giving him the next game off. Shut him down for a week and a half.
They're playing Western Michigan. They're favored by 24. Michigan.
Well, I'll tell you what, man.
It would depend what you know you have behind him and Deacon Hill and Joey Labus. Like, how confident are you in their ability to get it done?
Joey Labus started a bowl game, didn't he?
Yeah.
I would love to have a fresh Cade going into league play.
I'll tell you this, Kev. I would be very highly considering Cade for two quarters, and then that's it.
Well, first league play,
two quarters still gives you
a week of practice. That defeats the purpose, man. I'm saying like sometimes these soft tissue injuries.
Oh, you're saying just rest him the entire week.
You got to shut it down.
If he's going to prepare, he's in practice on his legs, working that muscle, and then he's in the game for a half, putting 100% effort into it. That's just injury. That's just re-injury.
Yeah.
It just depends on the severity of it, man. He knows what the muscle is doing.
But I'm saying like if a week and a half off of it gets you back to 100%, I think it's worth it.
Week and a half in a PRP shot.
If I'm KF, I'm asking him, hey, you think 10 days will do it? Because to be quite honest, boys, I think Sneak and Deke in the skid loader or Joey Labus gets it done for us this week.
You know, I want to see Skid Diesel, bro.
Same. I was waiting for him to come in for a couple sneakies on Saturday.
Needed it, man. Needed I want to see it.
I'm telling you, if we had access to the QB sneak and the quarterback bootleg right now, that playbook, I mean, you know how Iowa loves the boot. And we're just not able to do it right now because Cade, you know. So, but a couple of these clips, man, you watch back and Cade's footwork in the pocket. It is crazy. And again, no disrespect here, but it is wild the difference between some of the plays Cade made under pressure, backing up in the pocket, waiting for things to develop versus what we saw with Spencer the last couple of years. Spencer just didn't have that. And then, you know, he was probably, again, we talked about his pocket PTSD just from a couple years of poor O-line play. But man, Cade,
speak positively. I'm still liking what we're seeing out of pass protection from you.
Love what we're seeing out of pass pro. Love it. I mean,
a couple pressures, but you know, it's a whole game. Like it's going to happen, but
sure.
For the most part, I think,
has Cade been sacked once yet? I don't think so.
I think he took one or two yesterday.
I don't think he did.
I know he took at least one.
Huh? Well, it's not an issue right now, which is nice. And I'll tell you what, I don't have the knowledge to break it down. Drake, you might be able to tell me, but it seems like we've run a few different things in the pass game as well. We're running some of these comeback routes to some tight ends. I know, Drake, you were a little bit you questioned a little bit our receivers' ability to get separation.
I'm just wondering why if there's separation, the ball isn't going that direction.
Yeah.
We've got tight ends that are getting double-digit targets. We've got running backs that are getting some targets. The receivers are getting no targets. Nico gets a couple targets, but let's just call balls and strikes. He hasn't really been open. He made a great play last week. He wasn't open. And if he's open, if these guys are open, not just him, if these guys are open, why are we not throwing it to him? Because we know Cade is not afraid to let it rip. He wants to make plays. Why? I don't get
it. Seth Anderson had his guy beat to the house
couple on that times.
Double move. We just threw him.
Right. And I'm not saying every single play. I'm just talking about the volume of targets. If the receivers are consistently getting open, because my point is that we're not, our playmakers are having trouble getting separation.
Yeah. And I think that was actually a pretty decent DB unit from Iowa State too.
What I was going to say is Iowa State has a great, I mean, that's just a good defense, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're likely looking at, and hell, I don't know, watching some of these other teams play and the scores they're putting up. I mean, you're probably not going to see two other defenses this year that are better than Iowa State's. I mean, that's
like, from what I understand, Deontay Vines, he can run real well. He's a burner. Like, let's try and take a shot.
They aren't getting as open as we would like them to. You know, it's not ideal, but I do think they're creating a little bit more separation than.
Well, I can't see it on TV. You know, the TV, right. You get one shot at it and that's that from and whatever angle they give it to you. But
I will say this too, when Cade needs to, he did this a couple times. He's done it a couple times in both games. He is a quarterback that is going to take a chance if a guy's not wide open. Like, he will throw his receiver open.
Which is great. But that kind of plays to my point where this guy will throw it and try and make a play even if you're not super open. So Lord knows he's throwing the ball at you if you're open, and he's just not taking many shots to receivers.
It's a good question. I don't have an answer.
And I don't either. I don't have the All-22 copy, and I don't know the plays.
We should go to Twitter because I'm sure someone has the answer there. Do you have any more notes over there that you wanted to touch on?
We had a touchdown. We didn't run into each other in the
– Oh, God, the tight ends ran into each other. Dude, it's a tutter.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, but again, it's tight ends, right? We have two tight ends. Lachey is more of a playmaker than All is. I would like to see All, like – be a little less of a like an inline tight end, because right now he's fitting in a little more as an inline tight end, if we're just being honest. He runs a lot of underneath routes. Lachey is the playmaker between the two tight ends. But
I think Eric can make plays too, though.
Eric is still a consistent, like, good, big-bodied target who Cade's comfortable with, and it's working. He's been successful, and the tight ends are a huge shining point.
Lachey dropped one, and
tough to call that one a drop.
Or not dropped one. I don't even know if it would have been Lachey or the other guy. Was it Eric that was in on that? Were those the two that ran into each other? Was there a third string in there? I'm not sure. But we ran into each other, and it was probably a tutter. And you can do it every game, but you go back and you nitpick a couple things, and you're like, well, that should have been a touchdown too, and that should have been, we could have scored here and there.
Drew Stevens, though, money.
Consistent as ever.
Kid's money, and I tell you what, second week in a row that I've been impressed with his leg strength. There was a little bit more wind in the stadium at Jack Trice than there was in week one in Kinnick. And both ways, kickoff wise, he's punching them out of the end zone. I think only one got returned, and punt unit looked better. I still don't think that we're at
the unit. I think looked good. Like the two that they had to have covered, like they were right on them.
Yes, I guess coverage wise, we're fine. I still don't feel great about how we're blocking on the punt. I don't know.
I didn't see any that looked like they got rushed or anything. Did you?
I'll tell you what, I don't have the words to put on it right now, but something looks just a little bit looser than we normally are.
On maybe one of the Aussie style punts that he hit going towards the end zone, like away from the tunnel, it looked like the protection inside was screwed up.
Yeah. I think there's room there. They're good. I think they can continue to be better. I know LaVar was absolutely stoked when they blocked that field goal to start the game.
So sick.
Huge. And then real weird, Torrey, I think, just purely shanked one.
Yeah, he did, I think.
Yeah.
And it still went like 37 yards or whatever.
Got a good bounce out of it.
So 2 weeks in a row that we've had a block and a shank, and they've still rolled in our favor. We haven't had one of those like elite special teams games yet. We just haven't had it.
Yeah, I think we took one kick out of the end zone, and that was horrible.
Yeah, not smart. We got it to like the 15. We tried to run a bounce, and it was
just not there. Well, I mean, I don't know. The blocking was not there.
No.
Which is probably one of the harder things to do on a football field. Is
truly one of the harder things.
Maybe the hardest.
Yeah. But it's just that used to be a dangerous unit.
Yeah. And maybe they get there. Who knows?
Man, the Amir kick return unit was a dangerous one.
17, 18, 19, we had that thing humming.
Mm-hmm. Humming. I think the biggest bright spot of the day is Jazz Patterson, friend of the show.
Yeah, so what? Big shout out, Jazz.
Just a clear number two behind Caleb now.
I would say absolutely after this past weekend. 100%.
I didn't see LaShawn in there at all.
He maybe got a couple plays. I think Jazz has firmly established himself as a number two, and if he's going to run like that in the scheme that we're currently running, he's gotten more done than Caleb has. I'm not saying Caleb's not a dog because that dude can run the ball. But it just so happened that Jazz was the guy who, and that could be because he's in on third down. The defense.
Well, it was a tendency breaker. Like I said, man, that was the first time we'd handed him the ball on third down this season. They weren't expecting that play.
Yeah. Kid runs hard as hell. And everything he said when we interviewed him this summer, like, I don't think about it. I just run the ball. I'm just running the football and I want to score points. Like, the way he was so matter of fact about playing running back at the highest level. I mean, that kid is just he would get up after being tackled and he fucking wanted it. Like Drake, that grit, that nastiness that you were asking for out of the O-line, it's all Jazz has it right now. He runs with a thunder in him.
Yeah, man, you got to watch guys like that. You got to absorb that type of energy, man. You got to
quite honestly. He quite honestly had a couple amazing pickups in pass pro too.
Yeah, that's where he earned all his money, dude. Jazz, he earned his way onto the field being a great pass blocker, and look at him now. Now he's a clear number two back
on the pass to Eric. or I believe, or maybe it was Luke. It was a big time play where Cade kept backing up in the pocket. Jazz came across Cade at the snap of the ball and took out the end and the blitzing linebacker and just chopped them both down. Yep. Gave Cade just enough time to dump it. Huge play in the game. I mean, it was beautiful. It was really clean.
And huge props to Jazz, because it means that he's been doing a lot of due diligence, putting in time, learning the pass protections, right?
Yeah.
Because it takes a trustworthy running back to be the third down back, because a lot of the time you're going to be a protector. And the kid, he's got the right mentality, man. It takes a mentality to step up there as a smaller guy, especially to a linebacker or a defensive lineman, and just chop him down and say, like, if this is my job, boom, go get it. Like, I love that kid's mentality.
He did it. And offensively, to be quite honest, we got up 17-0 and we do what Coach Ferentz and the guys like to do. We just get to the end of the game. I mean, if we wanted to, like, really push that tempo, I think we could score another couple touchdowns. It's just not in KF's blood. KF gets a 17-point lead and he thinks, let's run this fucking clock, boys. And to be quite honest, we came out in the second half. We went 3 and out. We went 3 and out. They had a drive where they got one first down, then they punted, and then we had like a 8 or 9 minute drive that took most of it off the clock. And we ended it with a
field goal.
I think that field goal. All of a sudden, we're at the fourth quarter, and 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter was their long drive where they ended up scoring a touchdown. So it's
hell
it's
not of like, a play by nine there too. Lee was in good position, and that kid made a phenomenal play.
We sent pressure, Kevin. I'm pretty sure we sent everybody on that touchdown they scored at the end.
Yep. Sometimes they make a better play.
And Lee got turned around a little bit.
No, he was okay though. He was in good position. He didn't finish great.
He was a little off balance.
He was off balance, but he was in position. That kid had to make a highlight play just because of the position Lee put himself in, and he did. He made a highlight.
He did. Let's see what else.
I would like to see a little bit better play out of our fullback.
That is funny you say that, because I took some mental notes, Drake, and that was one of my notes. The fullback play, and again, no disrespect, but we've had some dudes now, and they come downhill with a bit of a mean streak. And what I saw out of Hayden Large, and I get it, buddy, you're built like a goddamn skyscraper. You're a big dude. You're not Brady the bowling ball. But we got to come downhill like Brady the bowling ball. And, you know?
The other thing is, this one's tough, and I do feel for him here, because in some of our gap scheme running, our guys aren't getting that good surge off the ball, and he's trying to come from a king set.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a guy in his direct path, so he's having to change his path. And I get that. It's tough, but it's part of the position. And you can't, like, get lost in the wash when you got to kick out that guy on the play side of a gap scheme. And, playing fullback is not as easy as just running straight into somebody like Omaha drill. And right now, the level just needs to improve a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of improvement, we talked about week one to week two improvement. I think we saw a lot of it across the board. And a good team, which hopefully Iowa is and becomes back in the AP poll, ranked 25th again this week, will make improvements week to week continually throughout the season. Kev, I'm going to leave the last bit of analysis here on the defensive side of the ball. We talked about Castro's pick six. I think I could have made that fucking play from the upper deck in section U, row 16. Rocco Becht, the redshirt transfer quarterback for Iowa State. As we talked about, you're going to make a few mistakes, especially against the Iowa defense, and he made one large one there. What about the defense for the rest of the day?
You know, overall, they played pretty well. Would have liked to see them be a little bit better on third down. They were 7 of 18. But didn't give up any big plays. Iowa State didn't have any play over 15 yards. And credit to them, they just their game plan was, we're going to take what the defense gives us, which is easy to say, hard to do. Like, sure, you probably saw it throughout the games. Like, yeah, we can get an 8-yard pass here, get a 6-yard pass there. It's not hard to know what coverage you're running most of the time.
Right.
But being able to execute that on a full length field, like if you're not giving up big plays, you have to do it. You have to have 10 plays.
You got to do it a lot.
Yeah, you got to do a lot. And those are hard plays still to execute, right? Mm-hmm. An out route to the field is still a 40-yard throw.
Iowa State, quick note here, Iowa State clearly just lacking any threat downfield. Like, you think we lack a threat downfield? Iowa State was scared to throw. This was the joke with Riley and Blake, the buddies that I went to the game with.
They also had a freshman quarterback.
I mean, they were scared to go past 10 yards. They're not throwing that thing more than 10 yards.
I mean, the thing about Iowa State, though, is I feel like they always have like a 6'5 receiver.
Yeah. So they don't know.
They have a couple of good receivers. Nobody as good as the guys they've had lately.
Not Lazard, not Hutchinson.
Yeah.
But they did a good job of taking what we gave them, and that culminated in a couple of drives down the field. Only one of which gets in the end zone. Like Drake said earlier, the guy made a great play.
From what I can tell, I
would like to see improved is we are not getting as much pressure with our four down linemen as I would like to see.
I'm glad you said it because I didn't want to.
Thought the same thing. And we were hyped up on this D line, right? And it's not that they've played poorly.
I think we're probably missing Noah Shannon a little bit. The more depth you can have inside, the better. Because, you know, them big boys, if you got them playing at 100% with all their energy, they're going to make the hell for the center guards. But
especially those big boys, man, they get tired.
We get tired. But if you don't have the depth there, missing your best guy interior. Well, I mean, Logan Lee's pretty damn good too, but missing one of your best guys in the interior, it's just less get after it. You wear the offensive line down just a little bit less.
Through two games against two offensive lines that are not special. Great way to put it. I would rank them as good against the run and okay against the pass. I mean, I don't know if our D line has but one or two sacks through two.
Up to our defensive line standards, I would say it's just okay and okay.
Yeah, yeah. We need pass rushers get paid, man. Edge rushers get paid for a reason because they can absolutely turn games around.
Shout out to Lucas Van Ness,
who dogged Fields today. Yeah. There's a reason why he's on primetime Sunday. I don't know if we have that guy. We would really like to have that guy when we go to Happy Valley in 2 weeks. We'd really like to have that guy if we can find ourselves in the Big Ten Championship, big time games where they're going to need to throw. It's going to be late in the game. They're going to need a 12-yard pass to complete a third down. And if we can get a guy to.
You remember that defensive end from Michigan State that we played in the Big Ten title? Was it Golston?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Tough. He was the game. He was the X factor.
And I just don't know if we have that. You know, I don't think we're going to leave gaping holes for another team to run on us. And if we do, we have a great second and third level. And I think we can get enough pressure that they're not going to be standing back there all day. But we're not settling for average around here. Like you said, up to the Iowa standard, we're just not.
Let me ask you this, Kev. So I'm seeing a lot of linebacker matched up on slot receiver getting beat on like 10-yard outs. how do we fix that from a scheme standpoint so that teams aren't so consistently able to get their slot receivers motioned out onto our linebacker and just bang these 10-yard outs that is kind of hard to ask a linebacker to cover?
Well, we're often not asking them to cover man-to-man 90% of the time.
Right.
It's almost always a zone scheme. And like I said earlier, it's we don't hide a whole lot of what we do defensively, especially in the back end. We just make it hard for teams to execute that at a consistent level. And if you do, congratulations, you know, you'll have a good day. But, yeah, as far as like, okay, you know we're playing – you know, you're getting us in a formation that you know that we're going to play cover three 90% of the time to it.
It's always a weak spot.
Congratulations. The flat's open. Go ahead and make that 35-yard throw for an 8-yard out route. It's there if you want it. Yeah. But
And they picked on Fisher a little bit, I think.
Yeah. They just completing that route on routes on air, like, it's not always easy.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm not that concerned about it. I think they just were able to correctly identify what we were playing and taking what we gave them.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it worked. They scored one touchdown late, and that's I'm telling you.
It's the bend don't break defense, man. Yep, we are a red zone. We are a red zone nightmare for teams.
Yep.
A lot of times they do have decent amount of success between the 20s. Just getting yards, just sustaining drives, because like to Kevin's point, in the big open field where there's a lot of space, we'll give you the 8 yards because you can't take those in the red zone when there isn't that space.
As an Iowa football fan, you have to be okay with them driving 60 or 70 to get three. And it's going to happen a bunch. And
it's going to slow the game down.
It's going to slow the game down. They're going to get frustrated because they're getting three. Hey, we need seven. We need a touchdown.
It's like one incomplete pass, one negative run. They're off schedule. And then you're, guess what? You're in third and long and we're not giving you 10.
Not only that, but hey,
we give you seven. We won't give you 10.
Yeah. Not only that, but now it's 14-9 in the third quarter. And you're pissed because you can't get in the end zone. You start taking chances and you start to get a little bit. And that's where we get you.
Yeah, you know, and then it takes you 7 minutes in the fourth quarter when you're down by two scores. And guess what? Now you have to go 2 for 2 on the two times you get the ball for touchdowns versus, you know, you score quick and then you have two more chances to score one time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not complaining.
You'll see other teams maybe play tighter coverage because they're playing man all day long. But guess what? That's how big plays happen too. One guy gets beat.
Double move. Yeah. I guess I was just thinking in particular about how our will can get isolated on that slot receiver pretty frequently, especially to the boundary.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're playing cover two to the boundary, you want to isolate the will receiver. Well, guess what? And then you're just going to, the will linebacker. There's a couple things you can do. You can have the number one receiver take an outside release, kind of bring that corner with them. You can do what's called like a reverse smash type play.
Yeah.
Where the number one receiver comes in towards the linebacker, then breaks off to a corner, and the number two receiver
comes underneath,
like, runs it out basically. Yep. Yeah.
You got to get to the flat and over the top.
Essentially, the answer to the question is like, Will's got to make some plays.
I just have noticed that it's a frequent thing, not that they're always getting exploited, but just that they're getting lined up over and over again. They're getting pulled out of the box. And I just didn't know if Kevin had thoughts on a different.
No, that's nothing new, man. That's
just what it is.
Teams have been targeting the Will in the past game for like short passing downs for a long, long time against this defense.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on any of it, Grant, Drake, Kevin? Any final thoughts on this game? We go into a game that's really, you know, we're playing directional Michigan. It's like Kevin alluded to. It's a game where we literally might even consider.
I mean, they just lost to Syracuse by 40. So
yikes.
thoughts on this game, or thoughts on other things that are happening in the Big Ten, like
I'll talk. Yeah, I was about to say
Big Ten West is not good again.
Oh well, I mean, Wisconsin just lost to Washington State, who's not some slouch, but
a lot of guys picked that. That was not a surprise.
Wisconsin, not who people, I think some people think they were going to be. Nebraska struggling. Illinois.
Nebraska doesn't turn the ball over four times, like really, really bad turnovers four times. That's a completely different ballgame, though.
But Kev, that's who they are.
That's who the Nebraska is, right? That's like saying if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
Absolutely. Yeah. If Santa had tits, he'd be transgender.
This is Santa. Yeah. So Illinois got, I mean, they were getting dog walked by Kansas.
Housed.
Yeah.
It was.
Minnesota struggled with Eastern Michigan for a little bit. Who else? Northwestern's a dumpster fire. Purdue is ass. I mean,
they pulled out a win in Blacksburg. I'll give it to them.
Sure. They also lost to fucking Kent State the week before that.
Fresno State.
Fresno State. That's worse. So
they got a good head coach.
How about do we think that Mel Tucker, is that a conspiracy or is that just me? I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful to the sexual harassment victims, but this seems whether
it's conspiracy or not, he admitted to doing it.
Which is just, I mean,
just having a little wank on the phone when
what are we do? What are we doing?
Oh my God, that's so bad. This so guy, bad. It's like you can have the worst on-field performance you can possibly have, and they still got to pay you your contract when they fire you.
Which is why my theory is the AD, the athletic department, the boosters, and some fucking some secret service. I don't know. They got together and they're like, "Hey, we got to figure a way out of this $80 million contract that we got to pay him over the next 8 years. Here's the deal: we're gonna take this woman and we're gonna insert her into the situation." And then we're going to tell her, hey, no matter how long it takes, it doesn't matter if this takes the next 2 years, you need to get him to come on to you. Get him to like you. And now eventually he's going to do something that he will know he did. And all you have to say is that you did not consent to that. That was, you were not looking for that. Something was off. Something was weird.
All you got to say is I was drinking.
You make a report, and that gives us cause to fire him. Michigan State is $80 million richer, and we're getting a new coach, baby.
But if he really was in there.
I probably wish it was $80 million. I think it's $98
million. Like he's 2 years into it, though.
Yeah, he's been paid out 2 years of salary. Yeah. So,
but if he was in there with his cock in his hand, weird guy.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, again, that could possibly be true. I don't think it is, but he still did it. They couldn't make him have a wank on the phone.
Hey, here's it. Here's
also, like, you know, just again, you're married. Maybe just don't hit on, don't sexually harass the anti-sexual harassment lady.
Right. Yeah. Kind of know your audience there. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And also, hey, phone sex. What are we doing? Huh?
Different generation.
He's old.
What are we doing though? Right.
Is this like in recent memory, like fastest fall from grace college coach?
Absolutely.
Like from like 2 years ago where he was like,
dude, is the year after he signed that big thing and then now it's trash.
Yeah, but you ever heard of
it? Well, I mean, like it somehow got even worse though.
Also, like, I mean, just how bad of a look is this on Michigan State? They just cannot get away from the sex. They got Larry Nassar over there. They got Mel Tucker.
Swear to God.
This fucking place. Well, you got to get out of East Lansing, great. Man.
Great though for Colorado, who used to have Mel Tucker, and then now they got Deion. And they're kind of like spotlight everything.
Oh, I mean,
there's a silver lining right there.
What does Colorado's schedule look like these next few weeks? When are they actually?
Gonna it's a gauntlet. Games? It's they
coming up. I think
they got USC and Oregon back to back weeks.
So if they can, I mean, if they can,
I want to say.
So it's about to get real interesting.
They're super legit if they make it out of that.
Like, yeah, if they make it out of that, I'm not ready to call them legit. Quote.
No. If they're 4-0 after that, they're super legit.
I will say this: when I looked at their schedule, because everybody was all about it to start the season, I saw 3-8, or 3-3 and what's the fucking math there? 3-9, and I think 8-4 is very possible now.
Think, oh, for
what
sure.
What an absolute freaking meat grinder they got.
So they've got
Pac-12 has eight ranked teams currently.
They've got Colorado State, which they should handle, but then they've got Oregon, USC, Arizona State they'll handle, Stanford they should probably handle, then they've got UCLA, Oregon State, then Arizona they should handle, Washington State,
Arizona's not bad.
Utah, yeah, they're going to handle Arizona, dude.
How about Baylor coming back from a Texas State win and beating Utah?
Listen, G-Bone, if you play all these teams –
the way around there, big dog.
Oh, fuck. They actually came back. You're right. I saw that. They were up and somehow lost that game.
No, Utah won.
Baylor lost that game, though. They were in the lead with like 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Unreal.
If you go through that gauntlet, you're not afraid of Arizona. You've already played 9 super hard games. You don't go into week 10 and be like, oh, no, Arizona coming to us. They handled it.
Yeah.
Oregon was in a little tough game there with Texas Tech. They were on a back and forth.
I am still so mad about that game. I've been furious for like ever since it happened. What is it now? 24 hours later, blood boiling anger.
I don't know if you guys got to watch the big game Texas versus Bama, but I mean that one was a hell of a
shootout. That was sweet. Such I watched that. Yeah, that was sweet.
Texas is legit. Alabama's probably gonna have a little bit of a down year.
Mm-hmm.
9-3 and fucking calling for Saban's head.
9-3, 10-2, but you know. Young offensive line, new quarterback who is not a first round draft pick like they've had for the last 6 years, it feels like.
Sex years.
I mean, it has been sex for them. It's been awesome.
Proctor's starting, which is pretty crazy.
He got worked a couple times.
Did he?
Bad. I mean, for a true freshman, man, I thought he played pretty good.
He's elite, but
for a true freshman, yeah.
Cool. 2-0. Hawks should be walking into a get prime week. I don't know what they'll do with the quarterback situation. Definitely an interesting question that you posed, Kevin. Give us your thoughts on Twitter, on the socials.
Get him some PRP and some BPC 157. Give him a week off, and we'll see him in Happy Valley, and he'll throw for 400, run for 150.
If Cade throws for 400 in Happy Valley – I'll do a show naked. I mean, I'll do that.
Wow, you just took that right off my brain. I was going to say we all show up naked. Gary has to come out to the library with his dick in his hand like Mel Tucker.
Library Mel. That's fucking the Iowa State recap on the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Take it to the bank with you. Hawks by a fucking million. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.